Thanks for having me. I just wanted to also just thank very briefly Dr. Padilla, who is our medical director for Upper Cardozo, which you'll learn very quickly is the largest of our sites at Unity Healthcare. So very briefly, an overview of Unity Healthcare, and it's going over Upper Cardozo, where I'm really focusing my attention this talk as the largest of the sites. And then to illustrate the implementation of an advanced access model in a community health center setting, and to go over some of the metrics of improvement in advanced access model. And then last, and I think most importantly, to talk about some of the limitations, and I hope there's some questions about that as well. So very briefly, our mission and our vision for Unity Healthcare. I'm not gonna go over this in excruciating detail. Those who wanna read it can read it. We've been around for more than 20 years in Washington, D.C. Initially, it was a healthcare for the homeless model. Those of you who know what D.C. is like, it's separated into eight wards. We're in every single ward. We have a mobile van. We have over 32 sites. And this is Unity, by the way. This is not the site, the one site that I work at. This is the entire organization. As you can tell, it's very large. 433,000 visits in 2007, 71,000 users. And in 2006, we got even larger, which is why we're now the second largest federally qualified health center in the country. We've taken over the primary care and the jail systems in DC. So a little bit about Upper Cardozo, which is the largest of the sites, which is where I actually do work. 4 days a week as a primary care pediatrician. There we have over 17,000 patients enrolled. We see about 76,000 visits a year, and that's about a quarter of the organization's visits. So it's a very, very large and very busy site. It's diverse. It's predominantly non-English speaking in terms of its users. There's a very low literacy and low English proficiency average, probably around the third to fourth grade level. A little bit of a quick graph breakdown in terms of the ethnicity. So of the Spanish-speaking group, I would say that clearly over 50% of them are from El Salvador, and of the African-born immigrants, the majority of them are from Ethiopia. Hear some kind of an echo from the other room. Try to ignore that. It's a pretty diverse group of practitioners. You have pediatricians, internists, family medicine, med peds, PAs, nurse practitioners. So you have mid-levels as well. Does anybody have a laser pointer, by chance? Does that show up? Oh, it does. Good. Thank you. Appreciate that, Gordy. So you have several categories here of insurance, uninsured, self-pay, Medicaid, Medicare. And private insurance, which we see very, very little of. And just so we clarify this here, is that in D.C. In 2001, we had the closing down of D.C. General Hospital for the most part. And Unity Healthcare took over its outpatient sites. And at the same time, an insurance called D.C. Healthcare Alliance was formed. And this uninsured category is really what that is looking at, if I can get this thing here. So. Right in there. So we do a lot of things there, primary care, dental, social services, pharmacy, WIC, OBGYN, mental health, we do specialty care, we do a lot. It's a very, very busy place. So there was a 6-month planning phase and we looked at the center's infrastructure, we developed a recall system, established and measured some baseline metrics. And very importantly, we had to, in the process of actually implementing advanced access, had to have a call center. So some issues with the infrastructure, and this started, frankly, far more than 6 months ahead of going live. We had construction, renovation, we opened up the clerical window, so instead of having just one clerk, now we have three. We have a provider area, rather than using patient rooms, exam rooms for provider offices. We don't do that, well, we do that very little now. Actually, we just finished taking out the last provider's office and turning it into an exam room. We've added clerks, we've added telephone lines. As you can might imagine, and it's probably what you'd see in other community health centers, it's very difficult to get through and actually get someone to pick up a phone. Training of clerks, staff, providers, increasing signage, putting up flyers. And there was a discussion about sending letters out to 17,000 patients, but that did not materialize. So you may wonder whether we, you know, used media, television, radio, local high schools, community groups, et cetera, to spread the word. We did not do that. We did look at the no-show rate, and I'll show you some data for that in a second, continuity of care, utilization. We need to talk about supply and demand a little bit. As you all might already have guessed or know quite well, it's very difficult to make this model work if your supply and demand aren't well matched. And then we looked a little bit at patient and staff satisfaction surveys. Went live April 4th, 2007. The patient calls 24 hours in advance to schedule an appointment with a provider. There are always exceptions to that, and that in itself created a lot of interesting issues for us. The more exceptions, the more you pre-book, the fewer appointments you have, the harder it is to get an appointment 24 hours before, which goes back to the whole supply-demand issue. So the good news is we had a 50% reduction in no-show rate, and I'll show that data in just a second, over 8 months. We halved it, so which I think is a good thing. It's impressive. Utilization has ranged from 86 to 93, and the data for 2008 seems to appear that we have stayed above 90%, so it ranges from about 9 to 93. The patient satisfaction and overall experience with the wait times remains mixed. I don't have any hard data. It's mostly qualitative from having looked at them. So here again, you can see March of 2007 and April. This is the percent no-show rate. I think this is the most significant thing on this graph right here. And it stayed down to 14% for December of 2007. I'm going to take questions at the end. Just write it down or hold on to it, yeah. So a problem that we have seen is the decrease in continuity of care. So as it gets harder and harder to get an appointment, your patients get more and more desperate and are willing to see someone besides their primary care person. So I'm just going to wrap up here. This is the last slide. Limitations, as I mentioned earlier, supply and demand are a key problem. And I imagine it's that way in many other places who've tried this. The call center receives typically over 300 calls on an average day, and we only have about 193 appointments daily to give out. The average wait time is about 30 minutes, and the call center starts answering calls around 7:30, and by 9:30 or 10, it's pretty much full. The schedule's full. So if you can imagine, if you have two jobs and you have a cell phone, and it's not the kind of cell phone, you know, that I have, my monthly fees, it's a prepaid phone, you can't be on that phone for 30 minutes. And besides, you have a job where you don't have a desk job, you can't do it. One thing that we were able to do very, very recently, for better or for worse, is that we have, because we have an urgent care center, well, it's not really that, it's a walk-in clinic on the third floor of this site, of this health center. We found that since there's a increasing number of immigrants who are entering the system through walk-in, because they can't get appointments otherwise, it's also increasing our load. It's making the supply demand even worse. And although they do need to be seen and we're part of the safety net, it's getting harder and harder to take care of the patients you already have. So one thing that we have been able to do as of very recently is close the walk-in to new patients. So if you show up, you've never been seen before in Unity system, you will not get seen. Now, if you're lying on the floor with a heart attack or a stroke, you're going to get seen, obviously. But if you're in line to get seen and it's found that when you're getting registered, you've never been seen before, you will not be seen. There's ways to deal with that. Since we have 32 sites, we've already talked about it, maybe trying to it'll be easier when we have a electronic medical record and a practice management where the entire system, the whole 32 sites, are well integrated at least in terms of appointments, so that if they show up at the window and they need to be seen and they can't be seen, you could much, much more easily put them in a slot at another site and get them over there. As you can imagine, there are always financial limitations in community health centers, so there's limits to what we were able to do, especially as I talked earlier with one thing for sure, that 17,000 letters. There's always difficulty in data collection, and it's a problem for us as well. You know, we do it. I don't know that we're the best at doing it. We can always use help. Someone in the audience is there is very good at that, probably has a question or two. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're seeing increasing numbers of uninsured, underinsured patients, immigrant patients into the area, which is making our job harder for those patients who are already established.
The work as well as finishing on time. So a couple of quick questions. Yes. Yeah.
What percentage of your patients are impaneled, and if they're impaneled, is a care team just
I'll repeat the question. Repeat the question quickly. The question was, what percentage of our patients are impaneled, and is there a team rather than a provider-patient or provider-to-panel approach? The quick answer is yes to both of that, but there's always you always have to qualify when I say yes. Impaneling is a very tricky thing. It has to be one, you know, there has to be a really, really sort of persistent education on the clerical side and the provider side and the staff side to make sure that, that if the patient's getting seen, that, you know, we follow the rules that we set in terms of what qualifies that patient of being part of your panel and to have them do it. So as it is right now, I can't say that the panels that we have are necessarily the most accurate. Teams, by the very nature of what we do, and what I've seen happen over the last almost 2 years, a year and a half now, is that you have to work more as a team. You have to, because you're going to end up seeing patients whom you don't know very often. And depending on the provider, some providers you talk to will say that they, you know, they see, you know, 90% of the patients on their daily schedule are theirs. And others, like myself, I would say sometimes up to 30 or 40%, they're not mine. So it is interesting what's come out of this. It's not all negative. You do learn to work better together. You interrupt them while they're seeing their patients, when you have one of their patients that you're seeing, to sort of really try to work better and together and not change the plan so much so.